Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
No Nick this week. It's just Wen, and I would like to say that we're joined by one of the big guns, but unfortunately, I've had to scrape the barrel, and Joe Fitz, you're here.
Mate, one of the 2,800 big guns in Supercoach. I just sneak in to qualify for that. So if that's the yardstick, then I'm a big gun. Anything else, then I'm having a shocker.
Top 3,000 now, mate.
Mate, just slowly coming back, although, you know, whatever Supercoach gods there are out there seem to want to break the bones of the players I bring in on a pretty regular basis, so it could be going backwards pretty quickly come round 13.
Oh, well, I think you've had a nice climb over the past month or so. Nick is, I think, fallen out of the 3,000. You know, fortunately, you've had a couple of good weekends in a row, so I've moved from 3,000-odd into 1,300, so... It's very, very tight at the top, so it doesn't take many weeks to really make a position. And with the buyers up ahead, it's you're definitely not out of the picture, even if you're sitting 3,000 or so. Mate, I know we spoke about briefly on the show last week, but I think it's fair to say the banner is officially back.
Yeah, mate, it's... You know, the banner's sending people to the sin bin. It's doing all kinds of stuff, mate. So, yeah, beware. I don't know what you're thinking for this week, but I've probably got some thoughts myself.
Yeah, no, I'll keep those thoughts to myself, and I think that you should too, mate, because I've got a pretty good streak going, and I'm not going to get any... it seems to be when I take advice from others that it falls, but I think over the past 5 weeks we've had a negative 22 average of the person we put the banner on. So that is basically an average of the what the players have been over the past few weeks, comparing the score that they've had against their current season average at that point in time. So very happy with that after a pretty rubbish start to the season. But banner beware, guys. It's back. And if you've got someone that I'll be picking this week or even Nick, feel very sorry for you.
Mate, we were out on Friday night for our kind of annual catch-up at the Bronx, and we had the very esteemed Dave VK up with us, and we were a couple of beers into the night, and we were having a laugh at how, you know, us super coaches, particularly if we're right into it, we're pretty data-driven, pretty objective. We don't let superstitions really get in our way. And then to see people hitting the reverse trade once you put the banner up on a Thursday night, mate, is absolutely hilarious.
Love it.
Goes against type, but it's got power.
Love it, mate. Absolutely love it. Wasn't feeling that great over the first 6 weeks, but it's officially back. And I think it needs to be a mainstay and super coached. And, you know, you pretty much need to just check the site on a Thursday to see what the banner is, because you know what's going to happen effectively. So running high, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So should we get into the pod? Pretty similar to what we've covered through the course of the year. Injuries, team news, upcoming draw and buys, which, you know, that's only a week away now. So it's creeping upon us. And then we'll look at the buy, sell holds at the end and then close out. But starting on the injuries, mate, do you just want to run through? There's a few, quite a few injuries from last weekend that we should just touch on.
Yeah, mate. I mean, Bo Scott is still, up until last week, was still playing NRL, but he's done his ACL, so he's for the year. Corbin Sims just on the end of an absolute brutal ginger noggin. He'll be out for a little while with a broken jaw. Safidi's done his shoulder, so if not the season, it'll be very late in the year, round 24, I think the Knights have quoted. Brock Lamb, who of course I brought in just before kickoff, has broken his bone, so that round 13 coverage has gone down the crapper. Round 16 for him. Sam Burgess got a strained butt muscle. He's been named, but yeah, it's he's in some doubt, I understand. Alex Johnson has done his hamstring. Matt Scott has done. I think he's been named, Matt Scott, but his knee's given him some trouble. And Dylan Walker, his eye socket wrote a check that his mouth was trying to cash. So round 18 for him. And Josh Morris done his knee. So round 18 for that. So, you know, some Supercoach relevant stuff there and a few not.
Yeah, but I guess lots of long-term injuries there, which is unusual, particularly if you have a look at what we had last week. And there are some there that whilst the players might not be directly Supercoach relevant, the impact they do have to the side, to other players and the positions that they'll be filled is you know probably more relevant as well. But we'll talk to that a little bit later on. So team news, let's just run through that pretty quickly. I mean, you're the team analysis man, so you pull me up if there's anything that you'd like to add. And we're only just going to highlight the real kind of Supercoach worthy news here. But we'll start tomorrow night, and Kahu is back. And Isako, do we think that he's going to be kicking goals now? I mean, he has been doing that pretty well with Kahu being out.
Yeah, I tend to think he will. I'm another one of those things. It was Brock Lamb that I bought in for Isako, so it's been a great week for me. But yeah, he's been kicking goals well. But I've got to say, up until last week, he wasn't. I didn't see that he was offering too much in attack. But then he really kind of it was his breakout game. So I tend to think that he might actually be ahead of Kahu in the pecking order if it comes down to one of them being on the wing or not. So just given that Isako is playing better than Kahu has pre-injury, I would say that he'll maintain the goal kicking just for continuity's sake, if nothing else.
Yep. And then the next one, so Norman moves to fullback, Gutho to 5'8". I mean, for me, that's probably, I don't know, I don't think that's overly Supercoach relevant. I still think Gutherson without the goal kicking isn't a player that I'm going to be targeting. I think, you know, he's scored a couple of tries in the past 2 weeks, but his base stats have been quite low, I think, from memory. And I couldn't be trading him in at the moment. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Parramatta in all sorts. You know, traditionally, Gutho does better at fullback than 5'8". And, I mean, at least I guess he's going to get his hands a bit more on the ball. But, you know, you referenced at the top of the pod how close things are kind of even in the top 5,000. So it really is going to be all about pods to separate, you know, yourself from your competition. So, you know, depending on the setup of your team, how you are for round 13, you know, Gutho might be worth a flyer, but it would only be because he's a pod and you're trying to make up ground on people that don't have him. So wouldn't be a recommended buy.
No, and I think if you – so he's got a break even of 24. So I still think you can just wait this week to see how he does go in the halves. And then looking at Parramatta, they've got Newcastle in round 13. So Newcastle have been leaking quite a bit of Supercoach points this year. And then you've got Cowboys, South, St. George – round 16. So, I mean, the draw, apart from Newcastle, doesn't look too attractive, I think. So the Eels could struggle over that bye period to win.
Yeah, I just think the Eels struggle point blank, mate. Obviously, the 0-7 start was pretty infamous and they've started to pull back a little bit of form. But, you know, God knows when Nathan Brown's coming back and, you know, that at the moment, you know, the coach is just shifting players around for no other reason than something to do, really, and it hasn't worked. So, not sure that Norman's going to be any better at fullback than he has been in the halves, and Gutho the same. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of a lost season for Parramatta.
Yeah, I do agree. So, Coruscant's out suspended. People did trade him in last week. The banner also got him as well. But apart from that, there's probably not too much to speak about. He's out for a week, so you're probably going to hold him, I'd say, particularly with the round 13 coverage. Hodkinson does start, though, and when he did come on, he took over the goal-kicking duties from Cherry Evans, which is not great, particularly for an owner such as myself, and he was also a popular buy last week. So he is completely irrelevant now without the goal-kicking, and I'll be looking forward to trading him out to Widdop come round 14. Cameron Smith is back. That's no surprise from suspension after week. Now, the Cowboys are interesting there. I mean, he's a guy that we're going to speak about a little bit later on as well, but Tamari Martin starting at 5'8", and Morgan the fullback, which is where they played on the game, but the now the team sheet is just reflecting that. So does Martin interest you at all?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I mean, obviously, 182K, he's got, you know, two seasons of pedigree around the 50 points per game mark, and he showed that he could score, you know, better towards the back end of the year when he got that run in the Cowboys side. So most people are looking at Brimson, and he's the most popular trade out. Tamari Martin's rocketed up to second most, but, you know, just given that he plays round 13, you know, Paul Green doesn't make changes for the sake of making them. He finally, you know, dropped Coote to try and shake things up. So I would imagine that Martin gets a pretty long stint in the team there. So, you know, for the sake of, what, 15K or so, Tamari Martin's a far better buy for Brimson for mine. He's a lock for me to bring him in this week.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I wish that I had two halves to trade out this week, but only the one. So I'll be definitely selecting one of those guys, and, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. For the Warriors, RTS is back with Hiku to centre, so that was just due to RTS with the his wife or partner going into labour and missed the game, so nothing too much happening there, although Hiku did perform well at fullback. So I guess just a note for super coaches this week, and I think the looking at New Zealand now, who do they play?
South this week?
Yeah, South at home.
Yeah, yeah, and then Manly away, Cowboys away, Sharks. So, I mean, weirdly, the they seem to be a little bit immune to the home and away stuff. You know, traditionally they're good at home, but they've been flogged. I think 34-0 in a game at home this week this year, and their away form's a bit better. So, you know, it's not a terrible draw, or not as terrible as what it looks on paper.
Yeah. Okay, so then the team they're playing, South, so you got Johnson is out with a hamstring and Inglis the fullback. So Inglis the fullback, I think, is pretty good for his super coach output, but, you know, he'll miss round 13 and also miss round 17 as well due to Origin. So he's probably a definitely stay away at this moment. You got Cogo, who's in for Lamb. We did discuss that Lamb's injury at the play for the Knights, so he's expected to be out for the next 4 weeks. So that's obviously a bit of a bummer, particularly for people like yourself, Joe, that brought him in for the round 13 coverage. And maybe you can just talk us through the next bit of team news.
Yeah, so I'm the opposite of overjoyed that Kurt Capewell's been trotted out in the 18 jumper this week. He was, you know, after bringing him in earlier than most did, it looked like it was working out, and he had a couple of back-to-back 50s. So he was locked into my centre wing there for round 13, but yeah, now dropped for Wade Graham and Luke Lewis, and I guess the only hope is for his round 13 minutes is that Graham gets selected, you know, for Origin, and then he gets back on an edge for round 13. But certainly, if he does get those minutes, he's going to be a sell in round 14, regardless. By the sounds of things, interesting at the Tigers. Fanua is obviously back, which is great news for owners. Robbie Rocco, your boy, he's been...
Not my boy anymore, mate. dropped him cold a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah, you've managed to arrest the slide. He's been dying a slow death the past few weeks. But, yeah, he's finally dead and buried out of the Tigers side.
Well, there is some talk, though, that he might be injured. So there is a bit of mixed news coming out whether he was dropped or is injured. I'll probably find it out.
Robbie Rocco injured?
Yeah.
What a shocker. And Lola here back in at fullback, which does affect Masters owners, obviously, because when they were both in the side earlier in the year, Lola here kicked goals. So, you know, anyone who, you know, is a Masters owner, you're going to play him anyway, but you'll probably expect you know, unfortunately, probably an 8 point a game, you know, drop because he's losing the kicking.
Yeah, okay. And we'll, I was going to discuss that, but we can talk about that a little bit later on too when we move into buy sell hold. But before we do that and also discuss the upcoming draw and buys, let's just have a...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good break. Okay, upcoming draw and buy. So we've got one more round ahead of us before the round 13 buy, and there are several teams that are facing that buy. For just for those that have forgotten, you're looking at the Broncos, Bulldogs, Canberra, Gold Coast, Melbourne, New Zealand, Penrith, and also St. George. So everyone else that I didn't mention is playing, and I think people have been working towards that buy round, and we'll talk about that, I guess, we'll cover that in a fair bit of detail, I'd imagine, next week. And I know Nick's going to do a podcast on Monday once the teams have been announced. But, Joe, how are you positioned for the buys? And maybe we can just touch on that and the likely number that we're trying to get. But then also maybe just cover a couple of the sides that the draw looks pretty good over that period, and maybe they're the players that we should be targeting.
Yeah, mate. Well, it just seems that everyone I'm bringing in, whether it's Scott Sorensen or Brock Lamb, you know, gets their face or their hand or something broken. So looking like realistically, assuming the likes of Cook play Origin, that I've got 11 at this stage pre-trade. So, but that being said, you know, I've tried to plan for round 12, so round 13. So there's going to be a lot of us in a similar boat. You know, looking at the sides that have a good draw, you know, interestingly, just once you take Origin absolutely into account, I think Manly have a pretty good draw. You know, the people that are Supercoach relevant outside of the Trebojevic is like your Marty Tapaos, and if DCE doesn't play Origin, I think they'll be able to feature pretty well against a Cowboys side that will be missing the Origin guys. And then, you know, you go into the into New Zealand and St. George, and they'll be preparing. You know, they've got a lot of British and Kiwi players that'll be preparing for the test. So, yeah, I think Manly could have a good stretch. They're the ones that kind of jump out for me. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm probably looking at Souths and the Roosters, to be honest, mate. So if you look at Souths, they've got an away game this weekend, New Zealand, but then they've got the Sharks who are going to be missing a few players. And then you've got the Titans, Parramatta and Cowboys at home. So, I mean, that looks pretty good to me, particularly with the form that Souths have been in. And then the Roosters, you've got the Titans this week, the Tigers, Newcastle away, Penrith and Melbourne, and then they've got the bye. So I think that both of those, and there's lots of, I guess, players from those respective clubs that are pretty Supercoach relevant, I guess. So, but apart from that, it looks like it's a mixed, well, pardon the pun, a mixed draw for the rest of the team, so.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm looking through, the biggest issue is that no one really knows what either Origin team's going to look like. So, you know, we're talking about picking up, you know, the best players we can that are unlikely to play Origin. Well, you know, if they're Australian, there's a very good chance that they're, you know, they're in the mix. It's really just the, you know, the players like Tapao and Tamalolo and stuff like that that aren't Origin eligible that you can rely on. But they obviously come with their own risk because, you know, they're likely to miss round 16 or, you know, once, you know, they come back from the Denver test. So, if they play over there. So, yeah, it's just so open and it's really hard to be definitive because, you know, if it's DCE that plays Origin, well, then, you know, what are the ripple effects of that? The Queen Queensland back lines all over the shop, and then New South Wales, like some of the proposed forward packs are just a murderer's row of people that have been bought in some teams' buy coverage. You know, some teams will be decimated.
Absolutely decimated. And I think the point you made about round 16 is extremely valid, and that's going to be a real sneaky buy, I think, particularly with a few of those Kiwis and Dragons that are very super coach relevant, like Johnston and also Woodop and Tohu Harris. So, that's going to catch quite a few people out. And then I think round 14 might as well, with a few players not backing up from Origin 2. So you've got to be pretty careful about that, I think, but there's not really too much you can do. And then we've obviously got that super trade week coming up, which is going to be quite handy. And what about 17? How many players are you kind of looking to have then? Let's phrase the question. How many trades will you be looking to have post round 17?
I have saved a grand total of 3 so far, so the answer is probably not much. But coming into 17, I would like to have realistically probably 8, which is down on previous years. But, you know, as I've been saying kind of all year, it's not that we're down to 37 trades from 40. The biggest issue for most of us is that they've really made a dedicated effort to drop the amount of dual position players. So, you know, where once we could just bring just about anyone in without regards to, you know, who's playing what and moving around, a lot of times I've had to make 2 trades to free up the cash to bring the guy in I need, because, you know, they're single position players. So, yeah, trades are going to be very hard to come by come the back end.
Yep, I agree with you there. And I think, but I actually haven't saved a trade yet. So I'll be looking to maybe save a trade this week and just bring one of those halves in. And then it's going to be a struggle for me, I think, in the run home. But unfortunately, I've had injuries and a few other
things.
That's
the Nick Kirkup method of trades, mate.
It is, but I've had certain circumstances. My starting side wasn't as good as what I had hoped, plus there was a few injuries that I had to deal with. But it is what it is. So we'll just keep powering along, mate, and hopefully I'll be okay. So I think that's pretty much it for the buys. We'll cover that in a bit more detail next week. Let's jump straight into buy, sell, hold, and looking at the most traded out players at the moment. A few of those we'll just start to go through pretty quick, because there's not that much we need to dwell on them. But Croker and Jacks, that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Kakao is the one that we should spend a little bit of time on. So he's been sold by 5,000 coaches at the moment. Obviously, he's been reverting back to the bench. He's named to the bench this week. I think he played mid-40s last week and scored around about, I think he scored 49. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's that, obviously, the dual position is really valuable, but second week in a row coming off the bench, and, Hook actually managed to start the side that he named as opposed to playing his usual silly buggers. So I think most people have come to the conclusion that Kikau is not quite going to make it as a season-long gun, so they're going to take the cash and run and break even at 68. I can't blame them.
Yeah, so I'm tossing up whether to trade him out this weekend to someone like a Martin Tapau, or whether to hold on the basis that Tapau also has quite a high break even as well, and he does, I think, come up against a. Just looking at now, coming up against the Raiders, which are quite good against forwards. So I'll definitely be looking to bring him in for the week after, where Manly play a depleted Cowboys side, although you've still got Tamalolo and the likes there. But I guess Hess and Matt Scott will be missing, and also Morgan and a few of the other guys as well. So definitely looking to bring him in there. And Kakao, for me, as I said, he's probably a 55 average player, I think, from here out, max, and that's not a keeper, regardless of how poor the front row is.
Yeah, agreed. It's just, depending on the makeup of your side, he could be someone, if round 17 is looking truly dire, as it is for a few of us, that you might want to stick around. But you'll be doing that knowing that he's going to start to shed cash pretty soon, and a lot of that could be gone. So for me, Marty Kikau, Sam Burgess, you know, there are, even for Feeder, if you don't have him, there are a few front row guns that you can bring in that play around 13. And, you know, depending depending on your numbers, it could be an obvious decision like it is for me.
Yeah, as I've got Fifita and Pangai as my starting front row forwards at the moment, and I think I'll probably just add one more, so maybe Martin Tapau is probably that guy, and that's pretty much me done for the year in my front rows, I think, given how what they've done so far. So I agree with what you've said there. Next most player sold is Bryce Cartwright. Again, no real point spending time on him. Josh Adakar as well. I mean, he's seen a $200,000, $230,000 increase so far. So he's being sold out. Won't play round 13, which makes sense. Sean Johnson is also quite popular in the trade-outs, and that to me makes sense as well, because there's just so much uncertainty with when he's going to return, and it could be as, you know, might not be until round 17 perhaps, but we'll see what happens with that. And you got Havili and Robbie Rocco as well, and we've spoken about Rocco, and Havili has peaked in price. Now, the other players which we aren't on the most sold list, but we should speak about quickly, two Broncos guys being Anthony Milford and Jermaine Asako. So Anthony Milford has just been shocking, and I know you've held him for the whole season today. I bought him in just before his stretch of games at Suncorp, but has really failed to deliver. I guess the one saving grace is that he plays Parramatta tomorrow night at home, and if he doesn't perform then he's a definite sell for me before the bye.
The problem is that I've been sucking into captaining him three times this year against teams that, you know, like you say, are like a Parramatta, and you say, well, if he can't do it against this side, then he's not ever going to do it and it's time to move him on. And unfortunately, only once this year has he kind of come good and been the Milford that we've known. I've still got him in the side, but geez, at 469K, you know, that's pathetic. You hardly getting any value back for him. So at the moment, I'm kind of gritting my teeth and I'm going to stick with him. Only, you know, but that's basically on the fumes of his past scores. The, you know, with Asako, it's a harder choice because, you know, he did, you know, get those attacking stats, and but he doesn't play round 13, and there's a quite a few center wings that do. So you know, I would hold on to Asako if I still had him with that low break even. He's still got a little bit of money to make, and try and, you know, find that extra center wing who plays round 13 from someone else in your team.
Yeah, and I guess the thought with Asako as well is just to see how he goes, and if he is retaining that kicking duties, and I'd be definitely holding him the whole way through 17, and he also has that low break even now as well. Now with Milford, the interesting thing is, Joe, that the Broncos after this week against Parramatta, round 14 Melbourne, round 15 the Sharks, Canberra at home, and then the bye round is Gold Coast away. Although everyone's been scoring points against the Titans, but those two away games, Melbourne and the Sharks, don't really look too great for Milford. And yeah, I am definitely considering that his time up on my side will come next week because I don't see him as being keeper. So he's got a break even of 68 right now. He could definitely get that against the Eels this week, but I wouldn't think twice about trading to someone like Cody Walker next week, because Cody's also going to come down in price too. And I think that the Walker just shapes as a much better option going forward, because they're both non-goal-kicking halves. And out of the two, Walker to me just seems like he's the one that's going to potentially be the season-long keeper.
Yeah, I can't fault your logic there. I mean, it's been such a frustrating experience. You know, we both live in Brisbane and we go to the games up here, and just watching, you know, he flatters to deceive because he's almost making tackle busts or line breaks, but it just never seems to happen. I mean, you know, just by way of explanation of how bad he's doing, I mean, if you wanted to trade Milford for Connor Watson, you would have to pay 10 grand.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because Connor Watson's more expensive. I mean, that's, yeah, and he's got a low break even this week, so that gap will get even bigger. So it's just not happening for Milford. It's not really happening for the Broncos, despite, you know, pulling out that amazing victory on the weekend. So given that we're 12 rounds in, kind of hoping for Milford to all of a sudden turn it on mid-season is probably starting to get you know, bit of a dream.
This was his chance, mate, with the running games at Suncorp, and it's just not happening. And this is really his last kind of shot. And with three games away after this, I reckon we could just put a fork in him, mate, because I'm pretty sure he's done. And if you look at Walker, really high break-even this week of 122. Got a game against New Zealand at home without a few of their stars. You know, they performed really well against New Zealand in their opening game in Perth. So I can see Walker potentially at least scoring half his BE, which would reduce it. And then he's going to fall below 500K, which is going to only really make it a 50,000 or so trade next week, which I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, more than fair. So, you know, and again, it's just that gun for round 13 when so many of them have been going down. So, yeah, if Walker's fit in round 13, yeah, the price is right.
Just briefly on the two Sharks guys, Matt, so Capewell and Sorensen, are they both trades or are they holds?
Sorensen, it's looking like he's not going to be fit next week, so there's no real reason to hold on to him. You know, just take your 50 grand or something that you earned and move on, because with that 10 in his rolling average, his break even is a lot higher than what you'd think, given he's only played three games. And Kurt Capewell, look, I'd say he's a hold, just because I can't imagine anyone has 17 for next week. So, you know, hold in the hope, wait for Teamless Tuesday and then move him on if you have to. But he's got versatility. You know, the reason why I bought him in the first place is that he's a great complement to Ryan Madison to move him around. So for his versatility, if nothing else, I'd just hold, wait and see.
Yep, okay. So let's move to the buys now. The first two aren't really of surprise with Brimson and Tamari Martin there. So having a look at Brimson first off, so he scored a 30 and a 53, had a try last week, base of 30 and 26. So he doesn't look overly appealing. You'd expect that he, you know, he's got a pretty low floor that's going to, you know, some weeks he's probably going to produce like a Riley Jacks, maybe something around that. Like, could score anywhere between 15 to 30 most weeks. Whereas Tamari Martin playing it should be a much better side, but who knows what's happening with the Cowboys this year. And you rightly pointed out that they're not just going to do what they've done and make such a big decision of dropping Coote just to revert it back. However, Coote is on a lot of money and I don't know how long they can keep him out of the side. So what do you really think that the Coote stays in second grade for a period of time or do they do something else with Coote? Because I think Green did come out in the media and say that the whole reason for making the shift is because they just wanted to get Tamari Martin into the starting side.
I think if Green didn't wait 6 weeks longer than most Cowboys fans wanted him to make that move, then there might be a chance that Coote had returned. But the fact that he held on so long trying to persist with that same, you know, 13 and it clearly wasn't working means that, you know, he wasn't going to make that decision lightly. So I tend to think that if he's taken those kind of 11 weeks to get to the position where Coote's got to, you know, spend some time in the Reggies, I don't think that's something that's going to turn around quickly. You know, obviously with the expectation Morgan plays Origin, Coote will come back and, you know, I guess there's always the chance that he gets a hat trick and, you know, wins the game for them and Green feels he can't drop him. But I would say that in a full-strength Cowboys side, Coote's definitely on the outside looking in.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. So if we look at Tamari Martin's past averages 49 in 2017 in 15 games and then 50 in 6 games in 2016. Hasn't started this season that good, but has also been playing very reduced minutes. In 80 minutes this year, he's scored 45, 22 and a 23. So really not that too dissimilar to Brimson. So that's... I think the thing that's really swaying me as well is that round 13 coverage and potentially looking to bring the both of them in as a bit of a cash grab this week.
You've got to imagine that with a bit of time in a position that, you know, Tamari Martin will revert back to what we know he's done, you know, over two seasons. And that's even if it's not 50, maybe it's, you know, 45, 46 and, you know, you'll get the points in 13 and you'll get kind of more than 100K out of that, you know, just in time for kind of the super trade round to move him on for some a keeper.
Yeah, okay. So the next person then is Martin Taupau, a guy that I'm looking at closely this week. However, does have a break even of 83 and comes up against the Raiders, who do have a relatively strong forward pack. So I'm thinking about, depending on what my reserves are, I'm looking at maybe just holding that trade until next week. What would you do, mate? So if you look at the Raiders, they ranked the ninth least conceded points out of all sides this season against front row forwards.
Yeah, it's a look. The problem is I'm like a lot of people that the trade to make to get to Pau in is probably kick out, and with a break even of 68, you know, if he, you know, misses that by 20 points, to Pau's break even's 83. Well, you've got to think it's reasonable that he'll get 63. So, you know, that's kind of a wash in terms of value there. So, you know, the difference being that you bank to Pau's extra points because you're playing in the 17. So I tend to think if you are going to make a move for Taupau, then, you know, this week is not a bad week. The problem I've got is just Marty Taupau in general, because he can look like an absolute world beater playing 60 minutes, you know, scoring 75, 80 consistently, and then the next week he'll play 40 minutes for 52, you know, and he goes through periods like that. So while he's capable of kind of, of 3, 4, 5 weeks of looking like the best prop in the game, in, you know, his history over quite a number of years would suggest that, you know, a kind of a middling period's just around the corner. So I just don't think he can be relied on season long. But again, I'm desperate for 13, so I'll probably bring him in.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of disagree with you a little bit there. I don't think he's faced a situation where he's got a forward pack that is as weak as what it is at the moment. If you have a look at what he's produced, so we're just looking from the last month. So 97 in 62 minutes, 86 in 56, 47 in 56, 74 in 59. I mean, the only person that's beating that, those kind of stats, is Fifita. And if you look at the weeks leading up to that, his minutes were down. But as soon as all the injuries have occurred, his minutes have really spiked. And, you know, they'll be missing Trbojevic from the forward pack over Origin. And I think Taupau will play big minutes there. And then particularly over that Origin period, I can see him performing, you know, quite well. So I think that he kind of is really not a bad option. And at 50K less than, say, a Jason Tamalolo, I think he's a pretty good option.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong, definitely worth a gamble. And your point about Jake Trbojevic, whether he misses games or maybe has the odd 50 or 60 minute game after Origin, you know, that's not to be sneezed at, because, like you say, Manly forwards have been dropping like flies this year. So, you know, it could just be a case of last man standing. So if he goes to the 60 plus minutes, then it's a no-brainer. You bring him in and you know, you just laugh all the way to the bank.
Yep. So I'll be there. I'm going to be looking at my reserve, seeing how many points I'm going to be scoring, and if it's a difference between me starting, say, a Reece Martin or a Kakao or, say, a Cameron Murray or even a DCE, then I'll probably start Taupau and go a week early on that trade. But we'll just look at and see what we're shaping up with the late mail. The next guy on the list is Reece Martin, right? So your boy from the Bulldogs, he has been fantastic.
Yeah, look, you know, there was a little bit of concern when he got named to play in the middle for his second game, but he's come good. His work rate's excellent. You know, the Dogs have been disappointing, but in terms of, you know, getting him in, most people did get him in, you know, before his big price rise. But I don't think it's out of the question, if he did miss last week, to bring him in, even though he's 280 now. Don't think of it as kind of 116K that you've lost. Think of the fact that, you know, he's got a minus 39. You know, he's going to keep doing the business, whether or not he's a season-long keeper, I don't know, or, you know, maybe he flattens out like Kakao has, but you should still get substantial price rises, and he's just a cheap option that's given you keeper level points. So, you know, there's really nothing to sneeze at there.
Yep. And so if he scores 50 over the next few weeks, he's got a projected profit from here of 150K. Which for me is definitely a trade-in, particularly that it will cover the round 17 and round 16. for you. So yeah, if you don't own him, I'd be bringing him in this week along with one of those cheapy half options. The next guy is Mahe Fenua. This is an interesting one to me. He's already priced at 340k. I think you've missed the boat a little bit with this one. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a cult following because of the haircut, and obviously he's done pretty well. He's averaging 65 from his three games, but I just don't know that the Tigers have that many points in him. You know, and to a certain extent, you've had Nofaluma in previous years create, you know, his own offense, and I guess Fenua's having that kind of year, but it's hard to rely on week in, week out. And long term, there's definitely better options in your centre wing, I think. Again, it'll come down to round 13. But, you know, if you do want to bring him in, you've missed the boat on that 80K first price rise, and you're probably going to have to trade him out at some point because it's hard to think he's a season-long keeper.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I think there's a pretty good chance that that Fenua could be a keeper. Considering how crappy the centre wings are going, just in terms of what he's produced so far, I'm just going to pull up his base stats. But what I was just looking at now, if he averages 50 over, I think, and through to his buy round, he's going to go up 100K from even priced at that that high, that point where he's at 340K at the moment. But if you look at what he's produced so far, it is very reminiscent of kind of what you've seen from maybe a Nofaluma in prior years. So you've got base of 31, 24, and 37. And then the week in which his base was down a bit, he did score the try. So he's got 61, scores of 61, 64, and 71. Yeah, he's just a beast, mate. And the evade stats, 34 points and 31 points over the past 2 weeks. So that screams keeper territory for me at centre wing. And as I said at the start of that little rant, considering how poor the centre wing options have been this year, and if I'm considering Hiku and Isako is just holding indefinitely at the moment, then Fenua to me kind of looks like a pretty good option to have.
Yeah, look, again, you know, your logic's impeccable, but at the same time, you've got to look at what Cleary's done with the Tigers backline, whether it's moving Lola here in and out of the lineup. Nofaluma's been, you know, in and dropped, you know, at least two times. Cheekham's playing in the second row now, but he's being named in the centres, and there's no way you're dropping SN Masters as well. It just seems that there's at least one or possibly too many, you know, centre wing players at the Tigers that you never know whether Fenua's got that kind of job security.
No goes, mate. No goes.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, you're right on form. But, you know, there is a reason why Fenua was kept out of the team for the first kind of, you know, 7-8 rounds. You know, if Cleary was in love with him, then he wouldn't, you know, have debuted in what was around round 8. You know, he would have come into the side much earlier than that. So while on form, he's you know, kicking ass. I just am not sure that the Tigers have that. Anyone at the Tigers has that much job security.
Maybe it just took him 2 months to get used to that haircut.
Oh, mate, it's an eyesore. I think it's worse than Jack DeBellin's from a couple of years ago, isn't it?
Oh, it's far worse. It's the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life. But so be it. Good luck to him. I'm all about inclusion and diversity.
You didn't watch Aaron Woods in round one. You did not watch Aaron Woods in round one, clearly.
I don't tend to watch too much of the Bulldogs, mate.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, so Katoni Staggs from the Broncos, he was pretty good on the weekend. He's been named on the bench again. I think people are going far too early on him. His minutes, I think, were swayed due to injury last week, and give him another week. I mean, you and I are big supporters of don't trade in before the bubble, so we don't have to spend too much time on him. Ryan Madison seems like a pretty good week to pick him up. He's at a good price point of 570,000, so I do not disagree with that one at all. And then Andrew Fifita, I think he's priced really highly, but he's just absolutely killing it, and it's proving to be a difference in a lot of weeks, and is probably been the one legitimate and just standout captain option each week this year when there hasn't been too many. Apart from those guys, we've spoken about Gutherson. I think we're almost on the same page there, that we just maybe want to see one more week out of him and see how he goes at 5'8". Taumalolo, now that's an interesting one for me. mate. I think what his value is now at 650K. Do you think that's a good value or good price point, or would you be looking to see him a little bit lower?
No, look, I think that, you know, 30K more, 30K less is kind of the range he's going to be at. You know, it was a slow start to the year, you know, along with the Cowboys, but he's been their standout player, I think, in recent weeks. And, you know, you might get slight fluctuations. His break-even's 99, so if you don't need him this week, you can obviously pick him up for maybe, you know, 15 to 20K cheaper next week if that matters to you. But, I mean, if it's not 650, it's 680. Or, you know, 620, but it's hard to think he'll be higher or lower than that, you know, for the rest of the year. It's pretty much the range.
So my real conundrum with Taumalolo is I just simply don't really have anyone to trade him to at the moment. I don't have any jewels, and the only player that I do have to trade him to is Cameron Murray. And I don't know, is that a wasted trade considering that Murray does play 13 and also if Burgess isn't going to be around. If he doesn't play this week, then Murray could play, you know, close to 80 minutes.
Yeah, I think, you know, Murray's obviously been on the bench, which has been a bit disappointing. But, you know, not only is, you know, Sam Burgess and really all three Burgess boys a risk for suspension or injury at any given time, Cameron Murray's going to probably be their best forward for round 16 when, you know, assuming most of the South boys, you know, the British boys don't back up from the Denver test. I know there is a couple of a day extra maybe than what the Warriors do for their round 16 game, but it's hard to see that all those guys will back up and Murray will play 80 in that round as well. So I'm at least holding him until then.
I
think he's got the talent to start. So while it is a slight downgrade based on current form, trade's pretty valuable, mate, so I'd hold.
Yeah, I do agree with what you've said exactly there. And I guess the one thing as well is with Tohu Harris also likely to be missing for round 16, it kind of makes sense just to hold that trade until round 17 and just to make that then, I think, is the smarter option. So I think they're all the players we wanted to cover there. Now, before we close out, Joe, maybe just have a quick discussion of captains this week. What are you looking at for a vice captain and also a captain option?
Oh, dude, I am absolutely not the guy to ask. Up until last week, I'd had one captain that even crossed the 60-point barrier. And last week, I had Arrow to make it two for the year. Look, I'm actually deferring to play it a bit safer, just given how poor centre wing's been of late. So at the moment, I've got it on Arrow again. Mainly because I think, you know, that he'll continue to play big minutes and, you know, regardless of whether he gets banged up during the game, he's consistently pumping out 70-plus, and I will absolutely take that as a captain, just given how I've been picking him this year.
Yeah, that doesn't actually seem like a bad move, mate. So they're playing the Roosters, I believe, and the Roosters have conceded the third most amount of points this year to second row forwards, so that's definitely a nice solid one. What about vice captain?
Yeah, earlier on, I mean, God help me if I actually pick Milford as vice captain again. I just can't do it to myself. You know, Broncos para in the first game of the week tomorrow night. But I've got Joey Leilua and Jared Croker, and the Raiders played the early game against Manly on Friday night. So a sneaky one of those, maybe Jared Croker if Papali moves to the left edge and Whitehead to the right. I think Whitehead is a bit like Joe Tarpany in that he likes to hold the ball and probably starving Leilua and Rapana of the ball a bit. So Croker might get a bit of the ball and hopefully can cross for a couple.
Can I scare you off that and help you make a different choice? So the Sea Eagles have conceded the third least amount of points to centre wings this year.
Oh, well, you know, but the problem is Dylan Walker and his awesome defence, you know, he's out. So, you know, that'll all change, won't it?
Yeah, I don't think so, mate. I think you need to look elsewhere.
Well, Dylan Walker certainly wasn't showing much defence against Curtis Scott last week, so.
This is true. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking definitely at the Broncos game. Milford is one that stands out for obvious reasons, but can we really trust him? I don't think we can. And And then looking at the Parramatta side, so they've actually conceded the 12th least amount of points, 12th least amount of points against 5/8s this season, which is not fantastic considering how poor. However, they have conceded the most amount of points to second row forwards, and I think that points towards one player for me, Joe. And do you have Pangai still?
I do, mate, and I was absolutely delighted that he got named on the left edge again. So, you know, he would have gone close to tonning up, but for that last-minute sin bin, you know, which we were all confused about at Suncorp on Friday night.
Confused, but yeah, I think look, he's a great option. Just pissed off, mate. Just absolutely pissed off.
There was a little bit of that. I was a bit more pissed off that they kept throwing cutout passes by Mitch Orbison, and he didn't get much ball, poor old Orbo, as an owner. But, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely shocking.
Can't believe I brought him in.
Neither can I, but he's going to play 80 minutes in 13, mate. He's going to play 80 minutes in the back row in 13. He'll be fine.
Yeah. So he should be good for 25. But yeah, TPJ, mate, that's actually a great option. I can't believe I looked over him there. So, you know, that guy's an absolute monster. I think we've all said enough about how much we feel about him. He's a season long hold, and yeah, a great option for VC this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've been carrying you on my shoulders the past couple of seasons, mate. So I'll continue to do it tonight with your VC option. That's okay.
Fair enough, mate.
Captain option, I'm looking at probably Ryan Madison, I think, against the Titans.
Yeah, you know, that's as good an option as any. I know the Titans are, you know, I think their reputation as easy beats is probably a little bit overblown, you know, compared to reality. But the fact of the matter is super coaches, through most positions, tend to score, you know, that they can see the kind of top three most points in most positions, you know, to opponents. So, you know, Madison is due a couple of tries, actually. I think it's been a little while since he's crossed. So, yeah, good choice.
The other option that I'm looking at, mate, from the same game, and depends on either A, how many beers I've had, or B, how ballsy I am at that point in time. But James Tedesco, considering that the Titans have conceded the most amount of points to fullbacks this year. We saw what Ponga did last week, and Teddy could be ready to explode the week before Origin.
Considering I've captained Teddy twice this year, and I think he's averaged about 25 across those two captaincy choices, you know, forgive me if I'm a little bit gun shy on that choice, mate.
I'm doing it.
We'll have a couple of beers beforehand. It'll make the decision seem better.
Yeah, I'm doing it. He's on. Captain. I've labelled him now. Changed from Madison to Tedesco. All I needed with that... that little bit of encouragement, which was the assurance knowing that you're not going to put him as captain, makes me feel a lot better about my selection. So he's locked in, mate. He's done.
I wish I could argue with the logic, mate, but yeah, go nuts.
So just I guess the Titans this year have been woeful, as we said, in the front row and second row forwards conceding the fourth most amount of points. But in the backs, listen to this, halfback and 5/8, the most amount of points, centre wing the fourth most amount, and then fullback the most amount of points. So, yeah, if you own any of the, pretty much any of the backs and the Roosters this week, get excited.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've got a few of them, and, you know, Teddy's due. He's been pretty consistent, but he's only had that one game of going massive. So, yeah, I'll, even though I won't be captaining him, I'll be cheering him on as an owner.
You know what I'm also thinking about doing this week, mate?
What's that?
Starting Orbo on my 17.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was trying to think of a stake bet of Orbo here, but
I'll do a stake bet, mate. Orbo scores over 50 points this week.
Okay, as an owner, nothing would make me happier, but I'm more than happy to put some beef up on my side to say that Orbo goes under 50.
Oh, I'm very happy to do that, mate. Anything for a bit of beef.
Lock it in, mate. You've got plenty, haven't you?
I do, mate. And Wilfred owes me one with DCE, and the news that Hodgkinson is kicking has just pretty much cemented that. So the next time I go out with the big fella, we'll... surely I'll get a stake, and I think there was a few promised on Friday night, but they didn't eventuate. So we'll have another chance. But until then, mate, it's been a good opportunity to get you back on and thoroughly enjoyed. And I wish you all the best for this weekend.
Cheers, mate. Talk to you soon.
Okay, see you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.